This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to give feedback to a new employee without overwhelming them in their first 90 days. A practical system for feedback that builds confidence, not anxiety. In short, after reading this, you will know how to give feedback to a new employee in a way that builds their confidence and improves their performance across the first 90 days. Time your feedback carefully. Too much too soon creates anxiety, not growth. Keep each feedback conversation focused on one or two specific points. Pair every correction with a clear picture of what good looks like. Definition: give feedback effectively means delivering specific, timely, and clear observations about a new employee's performance in a way supports improvement, without undermining their confidence or ability to absorb the message during a vulnerable adjustment period. Why new hire feedback goes wrong before it even starts. A new employee finishes their first full week. They have tried hard. Then their manager pulls them aside and lists 6 things they need to work on. By Monday, the new hire is questioning whether they made the right choice taking the job. Most managers know that feedback matters. They just do not know when to give it, how much to give, or how to frame it for someone who is still finding their footing. That uncertainty leads to 2 equally damaging mistakes: saying nothing at all, or saying far too much far too soon. The real difficulty is not knowing what to say. It is the absence of a structure that accounts for where the new hire actually is in their development. Without that structure, even well-intentioned feedback lands like criticism. In this guide, you will get a clear, practical process for delivering feedback to new employees that you can use immediately, regardless of your industry or management experience. If you want to deepen your understanding of how to give constructive feedback without creating tension in any working relationship, how to give constructive feedback without causing tension is a strong place to start. Why giving feedback to new employees is harder than it looks. Knowing that you should give feedback and actually doing it well are 2 very different things. The gap between them is wider with new employees than with anyone else on your team. Here is what makes it genuinely difficult. New employees are already overloaded. They are learning systems, people, culture, and expectations all at once. Adding a steady stream of corrections into that mix competes with everything else they are trying to absorb, and most of it will not stick. You do not yet know what is a habit and what is nerves. Some of what looks like a performance issue in week 1 is just anxiety. Giving strong corrective feedback before you can tell the difference means you may be correcting something that would have resolved itself naturally. The relationship is not yet built. Feedback requires trust to land well. With a new hire, that trust is still in its earliest days. Deliver hard feedback before the relationship has roots, and it can do real damage before the person has even settled in. Most managers never received training in this. They were told to manage people, but not shown how to time or calibrate feedback for someone in an onboarding period. So they rely on instinct, and instinct is often either too harsh or too silent. Fear of discouraging a promising new hire. Many managers hold back constructive feedback entirely because they do not want to shake someone's confidence early. That silence, however well-meant, allows poor habits to solidify and sends the message that standards do not matter. The goal is not to eliminate these difficulties. It is to build a system that works in spite of them. The foundation. What you need before you start. Before you begin giving feedback to a new employee, there are 3 things that need to be clear. Number 1. A shared understanding of expectations. A new hire cannot correct their course if they do not know what the course is. Before any feedback conversation, make sure you've given them a clear, written picture of what success looks like in their role. Vague standards produce vague performance, and you cannot fairly correct someone against a target they were never shown. Number 2. A consistent check-in rhythm. Feedback should not arrive as a surprise. Set up a regular one-on-one, even if it is just 20 minutes each week, so the new employee knows there is a safe and predictable space for these conversations. When feedback comes through a structured channel rather than an ambush, it is received very differently. Number 3. Your own clarity about what you are trying to achieve. Before each feedback conversation, ask yourself, what is the one thing I most want this person to understand and act on? If you cannot answer that in one sentence, you are not ready to give the feedback yet. Clarity in your own mind produces clarity in the conversation. Get these right first. The steps that follow will not work without them. Step 1. Start with what is working. This debt builds the foundation of trust that makes every future piece of constructive feedback possible to hear. In the first 2 weeks, your primary job is observation, not correction. Watch carefully for what the new employer is doing well and name it specifically. Specific positive feedback is not flattery. It tells a person exactly which behaviours to repeat and signals that you're paying genuine attention. Here is how to do this in practice. Number 1. Identify one concrete behaviour you observed, not a general impression. Number 2. Describe it back to them with enough detail that they know it is real. Number 3. Explain why that behaviour matters to the team or the work. Number 4. Deliver this feedback within 24 hours of observing it, while it is still fresh. Number 5. Keep it brief. 2 or 3 sentences is enough. Example. I noticed how you handled the client call this morning when the brief changed mid-conversation. You stayed calm, asked a clarifying question, and summarized the new direction before moving on. That kind of composure under pressure is exactly what we need here. That is it. No but. No correction attached. Just a clear, specific, timely observation. After a few exchanges like this, the new hire begins to trust that your feedback reflects what you actually see, and they become far more open to hearing what needs to change. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last, and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Step 2. Choose the right moment. Even the most carefully worded feedback will fail if you deliver it at the wrong time. Timing matters more than most managers realize. A piece of feedback given when the person is stressed, distracted, or in the middle of a task will either not register or will register as an attack. You need to find or create a moment when the person is calm, present, and not on their way to something else. Apply these timing principles consistently. Number 1. Never deliver corrective feedback immediately after a visible failure or embarrassing moment. Number 2. Always give feedback in private, never in front of colleagues or clients. Number 3. Schedule the conversation rather than catching someone in passing. Number 4. Aim to give feedback within 48 hours of the behavior you want to address, while the details are still clear. Number 5. Check in briefly before you begin. Is now a good time? Gives the person a moment to prepare. Timing is not about finding a perfect moment. It is about not choosing an obviously bad one. A new hire who receives corrective feedback in a calm, private, scheduled conversation hears something very different from one who receives the same words in a hallway 5 minutes before a team meeting. When you consistently choose the right moment, feedback becomes a normal, low-stakes part of working together rather than something to dread. That shift changes everything about how well your guidance is received. Step 3. Focus on one thing at a time. This is where most managers lose the plot. They have a list of 5 things to address, and they deliver all 5 in a single conversation. The new hire walks away overwhelmed and unable to act on any of it. Here is the truth of it: a person can absorb one piece of corrective feedback at a time and act on it. They can retain 2 at a stretch. Beyond that, you're not giving feedback anymore. You are creating noise. Choose the one issue that will make the greatest difference to their performance right now. Save the rest. They will still be there next week. Number 1. Review your observations before the meeting and rank the issues by impact. Number 2. Select the single most important one for this conversation. Number 3. State it clearly in 1 or 2 sentences. Number 4. Give a specific example so the person knows exactly what you are referring to. Number 5. Ask for their response before moving to solutions. Example. I want to talk about the way you handled the project update email on Tuesday. You sent it to the full client list before we had confirmed the timeline internally. That created some confusion on their end. Can you walk me through what happened? Notice what is absent. There is no pylon, no list of related concerns, no and another thing. One issue, stated clearly, with space for the person to respond. This is how you give feedback effectively without triggering defensiveness or shutdown. After this conversation, the new hire has one clear action to take. That is what learning looks like. Step 4. Pair every correction with a clear standard. Corrective feedback without direction is just criticism. If you tell someone what they did wrong but not what right looks like, you've left them with a problem but no tools to solve it. Every time you deliver a correction, follow it with a concrete picture of the standard you are working toward. This is not about softening the feedback. It is about making the feedback useful. Apply the structure in every corrective conversation. Number 1. Name the specific behavior that needs to change. Number 2. Explain the impact it had on the work or the team. Number 3. Describe clearly what the preferred approach looks like. Number 4. Ask the new hire how they would apply that approach next time. Number 5. Confirm they have understood before ending the conversation. This approach works because it gives the person something to move toward, not just something to move away from. New employees are building new habits. For a habit to form, they need to know what they are replacing the old behavior with. You can find ready-to-use language for these conversations in word-for-word script for giving constructive feedback at work. Direction turns correction into development. That distinction matters enormously in the first 90 days. Step 5. Follow up after every feedback conversation. Feedback without follow-up is a wish, not a system. If you address something once and never return to it, the new hire learns that your feedback has no particular weight. Follow-up is how you close the loop. It tells the new employee that you meant what you said, that you're watching, and that their effort to improve has been noticed. It is also where real learning compounds over time. Here is how to build follow-up into your routine. Number 1. Note the specific behavior you addressed and the date of the conversation. Number 2. Within 1 week, observe whether any change has occurred. Number 3. At your next one-on-one, name what you noticed, either the improvement or the continued gap. Number 4. If improvement is visible, acknowledge it specifically and immediately. Number 5. If the gap remains, revisit the conversation with patience and ask what got in the way. Example of follow-up after improvement. I want to come back to what we discussed last week about the client emails. I noticed you sent the update on Thursday after confirming the timeline internally first. That is exactly right. I can see you took it seriously. That one observation does more for confidence and performance than almost anything else you will do as a manager. It tells the new hire that the feedback conversation was not a one-off lecture. It was the start of a real development relationship. Follow-up emails that reinforce accountability offers a practical format for putting this in writing after your one-on-one conversations. Step 6. Adjust your approach as the 90 days progress. The feedback you give in week 2 should look nothing like the feedback you give in week 10. A well-built system evolves as the new hire develops. In the first 30 days, keep feedback predominantly positive and use constructive conversations sparingly. Between days 30 and 60, begin introducing more specific corrective feedback, still limited to one issue per conversation, with full context and direction. From day 60 to 90, you can start holding the person to closer account for patterns you have already addressed, with less explanation needed each time. Here is how to shift your approach through the three phases. Number 1. At the 30-day mark, review which behaviors have improved and which have not. Number 2. Adjust the balance of positive to corrective feedback based on the individual's progress. Number 3. Increase the specificity and directness of your feedback as trust grows. Number 4. At the 60-day mark, introduce feedback that stretches the person, not just correct them. Number 5. At the 90-day mark, conduct a structured review that reflects on the whole period together. The SBI method situation, behavior, impact is a clean framework to apply as you move into more direct feedback in the latter half of the 90-day period. It keeps your delivery specific and fair regardless of the issue. Adapting this process for remote or hybrid teams. Remote onboarding adds a layer of genuine difficulty to feedback that is worth addressing directly. When a new hire is working from home, the small, real-time moments that give you natural feedback opportunities disappear. You cannot catch a quick exchange in the kitchen or walk past someone's desk. Everything becomes intentional, and that changes the rhythm. Schedule feedback conversations with more structure. In a remote setting, an unscheduled message asking "Can we chat?" lands very differently than it would in an office. It creates anxiety. Schedule your feedback conversations in advance, and name the purpose briefly so the person is not bracing themselves for bad news. Use video, not text. Tone is everything in feedback, and tone is lost almost entirely in written messages. Deliver any corrective feedback over a video call where the person can see your face and hear your voice. Reserve written summaries for after the conversation, not as a replacement for it. The role of communication in meeting success covers this principle in depth as it applies to structured conversations. Increase the frequency of positive feedback. Remote employees receive far fewer casual affirmations than those working in person. A quick message saying that report was exactly right costs you 30 seconds and does significant work in keeping confidence levels steady during a difficult adjustment period. Be explicit about standards. In an office, new employees absorb a great deal simply by watching others. In a remote setting, that ambient learning does not happen. Be more deliberate about spelling out expectations, formats, and norms in writing so corrective feedback never comes as a surprise. The core process holds in every environment. Only the delivery adapts. Common mistakes to avoid. Let me tell you about the mistakes I see most often. I have made most of them myself. The mistake: waiting until the 90-day review to give any feedback at all. Why it happens: managers want to give the person time to settle before intervening. What to do instead? Begin with positive, specific feedback in the first week and introduce constructive feedback from week 3. Waiting 90 days means habits have already formed. The mistake: attaching praise to criticism in the same sentence. Why it happens: managers try to soften difficult feedback by sandwiching it between compliments. What to do instead? Separate positive and corrective feedback into distinct moments. The praise lands better, and the correction is heard more clearly when they are not competing. The mistake: giving feedback that is too vague to act on. Why it happens: managers feel uncomfortable being direct, so they soften the message until it has no shape. What to do instead? Name the specific behavior, the specific situation, and the specific change you need. Vague feedback produces vague improvement. The mistake: delivering feedback in front of other team members. Why it happens: the manager addresses something in the moment without thinking about the setting. What to do instead? Always pull the conversation into a private space, even if it means following up later. Public correction humiliates rather than develops. The mistake: never returning to feedback once it has been given. Why it happens: managers assume that naming an issue once is enough, or they forget to follow up. What to do instead? Build follow-up into your weekly one-on-one. Acknowledge improvement when you see it, and revisit gaps with patience when you do not. The mistake: delivering the same feedback in the same way every time it is needed. Why it happens: it feels easier to repeat a formula than to adapt to the individual. What to do instead? Pay attention to how the person receives feedback and adjust your approach. Some people need more directness, others need more context first. These are not character flaws. They are gaps in the system. Fix the system. Your practical checklist. Use this checklist before you begin and after each feedback conversation. I have given the new employee a clear, written picture of expectations for their role. I have set up a regular one-on-one meeting for the first 90 days. I know the one specific behavior I want to address in this conversation. I have a concrete example ready to illustrate the feedback. I have chosen a private, low-pressure setting for this conversation. I can describe what the preferred behavior looks like, not just what went wrong. I have noted this feedback topic so I can follow up within 1 week. I have balanced corrective feedback with specific positive observations this week. I am not delivering more than 2 pieces of corrective feedback in this conversation. I have checked in briefly to confirm this is a good time for the person. I have a plan to acknowledge improvement if I see it before the next one-on-one. I have adjusted the intensity of my feedback to reflect where we are in the 90 days. If you cannot check most of these, that is your starting point. Summary and next steps. You now have a working system for giving feedback to new employees across their first 90 days, built to develop people rather than overwhelm them. This is not a theory. Apply it next week and you will see the difference immediately. Start with what is working and name it specifically every time you see it. Choose the right moment: private, calm, and scheduled rather than reactive. Limit each feedback conversation to 1 or 2 specific points. Always pair a correction with a clear picture of the standard you expect. Follow up within the week and acknowledge every genuine improvement you observe. Adjust the weight and directness of your feedback as the 90 days progress. Use the checklist to make your approach consistent and reliable. For a broader view of how feedback affects team relationships beyond the one-on-one, how to give feedback that strengthens team synergy instead of breaking it is worth your time. And if you want a structured method for the later stages of the 90 days, how to use the GROW method to turn team feedback into a synergy improvement plan offers a strong framework to build on. The ability to give feedback effectively is one of the most powerful things a manager can develop. Get this right in the first 90 days, and you will not just onboard a new hire. You will build a person who trusts you enough to grow. Frequently asked questions. How do you give feedback effectively to a new employee? Give feedback to a new employee by keeping it specific, timely, and focused on one issue at a time. In the first 90 days, prioritize reinforcing what they are doing well before addressing what needs to change. Always deliver feedback privately and follow up in writing. When should you give feedback to a new hire in their first 90 days? Begin with positive feedback in the first 2 weeks to build trust and confidence. Introduce constructive feedback gradually from week 3 onward, once the new employee has found some footing. Avoid heavy performance critiques before the 30-day mark whenever possible. How much feedback is too much for a new employee? Limiting feedback to one or two specific points per conversation is the practical rule. New employees are processing everything at once, and too many corrections at once create anxiety rather than improvement. Prioritize the feedback that will have the greatest immediate impact on their performance. What is the best way to give feedback effectively without damaging confidence? The most effective approach is to pair each piece of corrective feedback with a clear example of what good performance looks like. Be direct without being harsh, and always explain the reason behind the feedback so the new hire understands the standard they are working toward. How do you give feedback effectively in a remote work setting? In remote settings, schedule a dedicated video call rather than delivering feedback over chat or email. Use the same structure you would in person. Start with what is working. Be specific about what needs to change and confirm understanding before ending the call. What should you avoid when giving feedback to someone new to the job? Avoid vague feedback like good job or that was not quite right without explanation. Do not compare a new hire to other team members and never deliver critical feedback in a group setting. Both practices erode trust before it has had any chance to form. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.